The day before the Christmas parade.
That's so true. You did a great job yesterday at the read-through, by the way. Did I tell you that?
Thank you. Did a very nice job.
Very nice.
I'm not an actor. I always wanted to be. I suck.
Come on, don't say that. You were really good. You have a key role in the show, and without your ability to pull that off, the show's nothing.
Well, I can read,
but you're a good reader.
You know when to stop.
Like if you, I saw a couple times there'd be
that.
A sentence and then it would end in a period and you would stop. Or a couple times there was a comma, you'd pause. That was great.
The ellipsis.
Yeah, you did the ellipsis.
Dot, you know.
The ampersand a couple times. You pulled that off nicely.
Bill did a really great job adding more people into a...
A bunch more. Like 20 more.
I know. So what's the deal? There were 30 parts, but you needed to get 50 people in
it. Yeah. Yeah.
You did a great job.
Oh, that's very nice.
And you can act, and so can Matt Bubala.
He's a good actor, Matt Bubala.
And Catherine Lake, who does production here.
Yeah, they're very, very good. Everybody was good, so I'm anxious. Tomorrow's the day, everybody, from 10 to noon, right here on WGN. Well, on the regular WGN radio, not on the stream, although I imagine they'll run it on the stream at some point, won't they?
Maybe.
I hope they will.
Can I tell you who the best actor was yesterday?
Yeah, I'm curious. Who do you think?
Stephanie Tischner, our boss, one of our bosses. There was a certain parts of the play where there was people mulling about.
Mm-hmm.
She was hysterically great. She was like, blah, blah, blah. You say, blah, blah. Oh, my, really?
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. She does a good crowd.
She does.
Yeah, she represented...
Just gibberish.
A crowd of people. And that's not easy to do.
No, she would just, whatever we were talking about, she would say something like, oh, that's what, oh my goodness.
But in a different situation, like, let's say you were just walking down a street and she was walking toward you and doing that, you would fear for your life,
right,
wouldn't you?
Right, it would be very disconcerting.
Very upsetting. But in a play read-through room,
she goes,
oh, yeah, there's the crowd. She represented the crowd.
She's a good Mueller.
Yeah, excellent Mueller.
Excellent Mueller, man.
Yeah. Here's what I wanted to ask you. I know that it is your youngest son's 16th birthday today.
Mm-hmm.
So will you at any time do this? Because this was something that my mom did every year on my birthday. She would tell me, she would recount exactly where she was 9 years ago, 13 years ago, 17 years ago, 23 years ago. She would tell me beat for beat what was happening at that time 9 years ago or 12 years ago or 13 years ago. Will you share that with
your son? I have no recollection.
You don't remember any of it?
I was talking to him last night. We did the family party last night. He wasn't feeling well, and he's feeling worse today. And I just said, you know, I said something like, boy, I'm really proud of you. And he's like... It's just weird when you just come right out and say that, Mom. It's like, I wasn't doing anything. I'm not feeling well. And I said, well, I mean, you're just one of my greatest accomplishments.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know how to thank you, I guess. So he was just a little awkward. And I said, he goes, what's up with you? And I said, I'm just a little emotional because, like, I had you 16 years ago.
Yeah.
And I said, you did not want to leave the womb. And he said, you know, I liked it in there. It was comfortable. I didn't have to worry about anything.
Yeah, sure.
And it wasn't a difficult childbirth, but it wasn't as easy as Michael. God, I gave birth to Michael, and all I wanted to do was rearrange the furniture in my room and have a Big Mac.
Oh,
I felt like so good afterwards with Dylan. It was just like
more of a struggle, huh?
Oh God, why did we have a second one?
Oh, I hope you told him that.
No,
did you tell him that?
I didn't tell him.
Keep that to yourself. Yeah,
but I don't have the great recollective powers that your mom did because I can't tell you. I remember the birth date, but
and
I don't remember anything else.
That's a key moment. You want to remember that. She, almost every year, if not every year, I'm trying to remember a year where she didn't tell me. And even when I moved out, she would call me. And this is what I would hear. I would just pick up the phone. I'd go, hello, because I don't have any caller ID. So I would just say hello, and she'd say, 26 years ago, they were wheeling me from the C ward into the, and she would tell me this, and I would just go, oh, who is this? I knew it was my mom, but she loved to share those little intimate details of the moment by moment process by which I was born.
So each year she told you another part of
it was always the same. Because at some point I'd go, I know what was happening here. You said, I'm a little bit dry. Could you bring me some water? I could use some water or an ice cube or something. I remember. I mean, I didn't remember because I wasn't even born yet. I was technically in the room, but I was in utero, as they like to say in Latin. That's right. I was born in Utero, Illinois, the name of the town. So, but she,
I thought she called and said something different every year.
No, it was always kind of the same story.
Oh, yeah. I tell them that every year. I had Ice Pops and we listened to Bob Marley music.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's something.
That was both kids.
Yeah. Now, for me, the more interesting tale is the next day, because that was the day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated. I was born November 21st, 1963.
Right, and you remember that.
I remember little bits and pieces.
You are so funny.
I remember Walter Cronkite coming on and telling the world, you know, what had happened, the sad news of what had happened.
What, were you Stewie as a baby?
Yes.
From Family Guy?
British accent.
And already comprehending things, even though you were a baby?
Things. I mean, I was a day old. I didn't understand everything that was happening. Like, to me, the concept of assassination was, you know, as a one-day-old, I'm like, well, that's crazy. Is that what happens to world leaders? I didn't understand what was going on behind the scenes. But the story both my dad and mom used to tell me was that children who were already born, like myself, who had been named...
Mm-hmm.
Parents were coming in and changing their names to John or John Fitzgerald or something to honor the late President Kennedy. My parents did not do that. They kept my name Bill, which is what they had to pay when we were done. So they said, let's honor that. Let's honor the Bill.
I have a John Fitzgerald, different last name, cousin.
Was he born right around the assassination?
No.
He wasn't.
No, he's younger than we are, so I don't know why.
But still paying tribute to the late John F. Kennedy. Interesting. There were no kids named Lee Harvey. That would have been awkward, right? Luckily, it was only kids' name being changed. What if somebody goes, I'm a complete degenerate. Let's go with Lee Harvey. That would have been awful. But it was all John or John F. or John Fitzgerald.
Thank God you are here to talk us through everything, because really, I don't know what we'd do without you.
Help explain the situation. Now, in a completely unrelated story, did you see the video of Michael Jordan? This happened yesterday. Michael Jordan, of course, the greatest basketball player of all time.
Agreed.
He is now... Oh, you can't... Every once in a while, I'll flip to a radio station, and they'll try their best to talk about somebody else. Now it would be LeBron James.
Or Steph Curry,
maybe. But they'll go, you know, Michael Jordan... was a pretty good player, but he was no LeBron James, and I don't accept that at all. Michael Jordan...
Best ever.
Is
ever.
The best ever.
He hung in the air like nothing
gravity.
I've ever seen.
Did you ever... Were you ever at a game?
Yes.
All right. So, as amazing as it looked on TV when he would go up for a layup and seemingly float, you would say, all right, that was amazing. But when you saw it live, you just said to yourself, well, that's impossible.
Right.
He's almost flying.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, every time. Every single time. So Michael Jordan is now an owner of a basketball franchise, and there's video of him yesterday. It's the Charlotte Hornets. So there's video of him yesterday at a game. He goes to watch a bunch of the games. The Hornets have a guard named Malik Monk who wasn't having his best day, and he comes off the court, and Michael Jordan is talking to him, and they're having a discussion. And then Michael Jordan just slaps him. He just that back of the head slap that is so demoralizing.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan's like calling him out on his play in the game, and then he extends his hand and you go, well, he's not going to slap him. That's a grown man and another grown man. They don't slap guys like that. And then he slaps him not once but twice. By the way,
I did not see it, but I'm looking at it now.
It's so upsetting.
And it didn't hang there like he did in the air.
No. No, it did not. No. But no, to the credit of Malik Monk...
He didn't hit him that hard.
It was what we used to call in my family a love tap.
Yeah, that was not... You made it sound like I thought
like,
he just...
Like you just hauled off and just gave him a big onslaught. No,
it's
no,
like,
no.
Come on, get it together.
Get it right. It was that kind of a get your head back in the game slap. And then the second one was even less.
Yeah.
But Malik,
are people mad?
Well, they're just they're saying that's no way to lead. You know, that's no way. What are you saying to a grown man by slapping him a couple of times?
You're Michael Jordan. I think you can slap somebody.
I'm trying to figure out if that means more or less because of who he is. I guess in my head I go, he's the greatest basketball player of all time. He's given me a couple of slaps.
I deserve
it. He knows what he's doing. He's Michael Jordan.
I'm not offended by it.
You're okay with it?
Yeah, I, you know.
He stayed, by the way, Malik Monk, like, after the first, like, you know my rule. If you slap me once, I leave. I just walk out. I just go, you just slapped me. I can't deal with you anymore. Malik just stood there and continued to discuss with Michael Jordan, who then said, wait, don't go yet. I have this for you. And then he got
there's more.
I got a backup slap for you. And then he slapped him a second time.
Well, I want to know what the context of the slappage was.
It was just Michael watching him play and thinking to himself, boy, if we're going to win this game, you have to think more, and you're not. Maybe if I slap you, you'll think more. Maybe. But I would be horribly put off if a coach of mine, or Michael's not the coach, of course, he's the owner, but if a coach especially, or an owner, you know, between periods or quarters, slapped me. I would just go, I didn't come here to be slapped by the greatest player of all time.
But it didn't look like a mean slap. It was just like, come on, buddy. It looked very playful and lovable to me.
Lovable slap.
Yeah, it didn't look like mean, so I don't think...
What if, like, between shows, between our regular 10 to noon and bonus hour, you went out in the hall and one of our bosses went, you know, I listen to the show most days. Today you just didn't have it. Slap.
But it doesn't look like that kind of slap.
No?
It looked more playful to me.
Yeah.
And it depends who would slap me.
Yeah.
And for what reason.
Who would you allow? Who's on your slappable list? Who would
that
you allow to slap
question.
You? I don't think I have anybody on my list. Even the people closest to me, my wife and daughters, if they were to slap me, I would take offense to it. Please,
good to know.
Please, with the slapping. Can you just not slap me? Or just say slap. Like, move your hand out at me and go slap, slap, slap. I'm all right with that. But don't physically slap me.
It was not a slap like you're describing it.
How would you categorize it? Like, it's not a full-on,
like,
I'll show
on.
You what's what. Like that.
Right,
it
it's not a mean slap. It's
it was
like,
a, come on,
goofball.
Do better. We all want you to do better, Malik. It was that kind of a slap. He wasn't trying to deck him. He wasn't trying to knock him out with the slap.
Isn't it different in sports than it is in an office? I mean...
Yeah.
They're touching
to
each other
extent.
A lot.
There's a lot more physicality. Yeah. Like butt bumps never go good in an office setting, right? Like,
who calls them butt bumps?
Butt bumps.
I'd see a doctor about that.
I really should see a doctor about the butt bumps. No, but you know, like, in a game, when a guy shoots a free throw, let's keep it with basketball, a guy will come up and pat him on the back, you know, on the back end. But here at work, if a guy lands a sale in sales, a salesman's not going to come up and go, hey, Mark, nice going. Bing, 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 bing. You're not going to see any of that.
Bing, bing,
bing, bing, bing, bing, bing,
bing.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
All right, sound effects ruin it, first of all. Second of all, back in the old days of radio,
yes,
when I was just starting at the Loop radio station, I saw some of that behavior.
They didn't do that to you.
No, not to me, but to one another about getting a good sale. The guys would be
did
like...
They really?
Yeah, it was like a locker room.
Oh, interesting.
It really was.
Oh, I don't think I came on board well after you, like 9 years after you, and that was already outlawed.
Thank God.
The FCC demanded there be no butt bumping.
Well, you demanded that or you wouldn't come over there.
Right.
No
said,
butt bumping, please.
I said maybe on my birthday.
I know it's not a good thing to do. It was a swipe at Hornets guard Malik Monk. It was a tap of endearment. It was like a big brother and a little brother, Jordan said on Thursday. No negative intent, only love. He was reacting to Monk running off the bench and onto the floor after Jeremy Lamb hit what proved to be the game winner in Wednesday's 108-107 victory over the Detroit Pistons.
Oh, I didn't know it was, that ended the game. I didn't know that. Wow.
So, honestly... I'm really trying not to be so bent out of shape about things that go on.
Right.
He shouldn't do it. He didn't do it out of meanness. He just was
He wasn't
like,
trying to hurt him, certainly.
No, he was just like, you
gotta
dummy.
You got to do better. You, Malik, must do better.
Not even that. I
you
feel
think?
Like it was just kind of like a Fred Sanford, you dummy kind of thing.
Oh, interesting.
Like, come on, man. Yeah. Look, you just let that go.
Yeah.
But it's weird. I think it's weirder that he's the owner that he did it. Like, I almost would see it more coming from a coach.
That's what I was thinking, too. I could certainly see where a coach might do that. But I would still, I would just go, oh, a guy shouldn't be smacking another guy. Come on. Now I play tennis, which is a very gentle sport, Wendy. You see very little by way of slapping in tennis. Very little. Because the net separates you from your opponent. You would almost have to call him toward the net and go, I have a secret.
Right.
I want to tell you a secret.
Come
and then when
here.
He gets there,
slap.
And you slap him and you run back.
Why don't you try that? Get a GoPro camera. Play against someone and
all right.
do that.
Maybe I'll try that. I'll see what. I'll see how that changes my game.
It's just kind of weird because the owner, that seems weird.
Yeah.
What if the owner butt bumped him? Would that be weird?
Yes. Very, very weird. But, by the way, to Michael Jordan's credit, his arms look massive now.
They've always
Are you able to see?
Big.
Well, he's always been. I mean, he's Michael Jordan. He's in good shape, but his arms looked. I don't know if he's wearing just a tighter brand of shirt.
I don't know.
But his arms looked big, very big.
Do you seem very impressed?
I was just surprised because, you know, he hasn't played ball in a while, and you know, once you're away from the game, maybe you don't take quite good a care of yourself, but he looks like he's working out extra hard now.
I've always been a fan of Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
The greatest basketball player of all time. Who's in second place? Also Michael Jordan. He's so good. He's in first, second, fourth, and ninth place on the greatest basketball player of all time list. So good, Judy.
Mm.
Wendy and I were just saying, when you'd watch Michael Jordan on TV, you'd see him go up for a layup, and it looked amazing. You go, wow, he started that layup all the way over there, and then he got all the way to the net. But when you saw it live, you just went, that's impossible. He was up in the air for 5.5 seconds.
Yeah.
How did he
Jordan
do it?
That Jordan jump was crazy.
Oh, my God. So good.
Mm-hmm.
So good. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. Judy's got the news for you, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill F., it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN.
I was just talking to Judy Pilak because she is she's wrapping up the year.
Yes.
7 days of Judy.
And that's the Hallmark Channel special.
Yes,
Judy.
Tune
I'm on every
Hallmark
night,
Channel.
Basically, yeah.
It's Judy and Valerie Bertinelli.
Well, as you know, I want to be an actress, so the Hallmark Channel's the first place
They were the first
I'm
one
going.
To bite?
Yeah. I think I could act there.
Yeah, you could. You could probably get a job there.
I'm not kidding. Today. Sometimes, because my daughter watches it constantly, and I'm just like, I watch it for literally 2 minutes. I go, Kaylee, come on. She's like, what? This is a good one.
Did you ever see the one on the Hallmark Channel with the woman who thinks she's met the right guy and she falls in love with him and turns out he's not the right guy?
That's everything on the Hallmark Channel.
It is?
I actually like the ones. Maybe it's the Hallmark Channel, but it's a different season where it's a danger.
Oh, there's sometimes they're danger,
it's the wrong guy because he's about to kill them.
He's done something horrible.
Yeah, or he killed someone
else.
Oh,
that's the Hallmark I would watch. Those are the cards I give, the death ones.
Who plays the guy in that Hallmark special, do we know? Who would it normally be?
It would be like, because he's always really good looking.
Yeah.
Desi Arnaz Jr.
Desi Arnaz Jr.
Yeah, but a bad guy.
Oh, you hate to hear that.
Yeah.
That ruins everything.
Yeah,
makes him more attractive, quite honestly.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a one who's really attractive and then a bad guy. Because then I kind of like those guys.
Because for a long time on Hallmark Channel, like, you'd read the synopsis and you wouldn't read the stars, and then it was always Meredith Baxter or Meredith Baxter Burney,
right,
who was the lead. Then for a while it was Valerie Bertinelli for a little while. And I don't know who it is now.
You know who it is a lot, I feel like, now? She's on that country music show.
Reba
mom,
McEntire?
Maybe. No, but Reba'd be good, but she'd be funny, so it wouldn't really work for the...
You need drama more than comedy.
Yeah, you need a lot more drama.
Yeah. Yep. Judy, really quickly, I know you have to go.
Because I only have 7 days left.
Because you only have 7 days left. Wendy and I are in tomorrow for the holiday play for It's a Wonderful Life, and I know you're a part of that. But then both Wendy and I are off all next week and the week after, so we will not be here to say goodbye then. But
no stream tomorrow?
There will be no stream tomorrow.
Okay.
Because of the play.
So this is goodbye.
What an honor it has been, seriously, to not only work with you, but be friends with you.
As I have said from the first minute I did this stream with you guys, the best part of my day.
Oh,
the
you're
best
very
part,
kind.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I can't even look at
actually,
her.
Actually, we...
you make me sad.
We worked together a couple years ago, right?
Yep.
I was your newsperson.
In the afternoons.
And, right. Yeah, so...
But it was always so much fun to work with you, and I've been a fan of yours from long before
Thank
I
you.
Knew you, and boy, do you live up to billing.
Oh,
really
you're
do.
Wonderful. Yeah. God, you're the smartest person here. Look at Wendy. She's not going to say anything.
No, because I...
This is a Hallmark moment.
I'm looking at the Hallmark Channel, and Shannon Elizabeth is in a lot of these movies.
Mm. Oh, I
Is she
I know
the mom
that
from
is.
That country show? No.
No.
Shannon Elizabeth
okay.
from the American Pie movies, right?
Yeah.
For her? And Candace Bure, people have texted
in.
Candace Cameron, now Candace Cameron Bure is in a lot of those as well.
Soon to be Judy Pyleck.
Soon to be Judy Pyleck.
Yep.
I can be dramatic. I can be funny. I can be weepy.
Anything.
And I can be gone. Girl gone.
Now, Wendy maintains that in a very short span of time, you will regret leaving the station and say to yourself, what have I done? I want to be in the news every day, but I don't know.
No.
I
would not do it. I have thought long and hard. I won't have any regrets. I won't. But you know what? I've been here 32 years. Of course, I'm going to miss everyone terribly.
Sure.
But I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to sit in, well, maybe for a while I'll be sitting in my pajamas at noon drinking vodka, but then I will get off the couch and do something.
Good.
No, I mean, I just, so yeah, it's just, it's one more, it's life, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but I'm not trained to do pretty much anything else, so.
You think you're not, but you are.
But that's what is so inspiring about you, and what I've always liked so much about you is you're your own person and you're a free spirit. You decide something and you just go, you know what? I'm going to do it.
I do. I do like that about me, too. One of my best attributes that I don't, I mean, I don't always do it, but mostly I do what I say I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Because I hate people who just talk about it and it's like, all right, get up and do it.
Right.
And I, you know, and it was, I mean, like I said, it's not like I just thought about it when they offered it.
Oh, I know.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
And I love walking out of here
on your own terms.
On my own terms. It's just so appealing to me. And Wendy, I have really, these are my skills.
Yeah.
Okay, I do have a lot more skills, but not that many. But I'm assuming I'm walking out of here and I got to go learn some new skills. When I'm going to do something different, it's going to be different. I'm not going to, you know, hopefully 32 years of WGN has given me a pretty good background.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, totally.
I would imagine.
Right?
It's unheard of.
It's so, I feel confident. You know, people are like, oh, you're not going to be able to get another job. And in my head, I'm going, yeah, I am.
Yes,
I know you
will. Totally can.
Right? Yeah. It's what you, I mean, anyone, right. You gotta have confidence and then you can do it.
Well, to prove that, for a lot of us, and I'll tell you what, myself included, if you heard the word cancer, you'd say to yourself, this is the end. You hear the word cancer, you go, the clock is ticking, I'm done. You not only beat it, but you have served as such an incredible,
its ass, right?
You destroyed it.
Yeah, that was,
you
that
destroyed
gave,
it.
It gave me a lot of, backbone.
I'm sure it did.
Right? But, you know, I will say, this place helped me beat cancer and survive. Oh, my God. If I didn't, I came to work. I only took really off maybe a month and a half during the really worst part.
Wow.
Otherwise, for that whole year of chemo and everything, I came to work every day because I just felt like it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And it was. That helped me tremendously.
But it shows people that if you get that diagnosis, It doesn't mean
right,
it's the end.
No.
You fight and you win, as you did.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got, I don't know. Let me tell you, before cancer, I always say this, pre-cancer, I was kind of a pessimistic person.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, things got to me. Post-cancer, I and it's a struggle every day.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. But I, like, when I start to get into that, you know, things bother me and I just make them worse than they are. It's so much better to be positive.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I wish I could teach that to everyone.
Because that negative energy just festers inside of you and gets bigger and controls you.
Positive energy is so good. I know it sounds la-la and ridiculous.
She's going to be a yogi.
Right? I'm going to California. I'm going to stand on the street corner. Hey, be positive, dude. So I'm going to give everyone the peace sign.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good.
Right? That's my job. I think I can make a lot of money doing that.
I think you're going to be a yoga instructor, and you will, because you do.
I think you're really funny because I can't really lift my leg lifting it up this high hurts. And I don't want to lift it up higher.
No.
If you're the instructor, you can just tell people what to do.
I'll be up there with a cigarette and a vodka. All right, everyone, now twist into a pretzel.
Give us just, if you could, one or two just unforgettable moments? You've been here more than 30 years, 32 years. What's one or two things from this experience that you'll just always remember?
So, God, there's just so many. I mean, you know, I got married here. I had my kids here. I had cancer here. What more do you want? But here's one.
Yeah.
We used to do the Kathy and Judy convention.
Yeah.
And we one year did the Academy Awards, and we all starred in a, I'm sure maybe I even told you guys this. Some of the listeners probably have heard this story, but it's so good.
Yeah.
So I was in When Harry Met Sally. I did that, of course, that scene in the bagel
I'll
shop.
Have what she's
yes.
having.
I was so good. Of course I was. I'm a thespian. So I went overboard. Anyway, they're giving out the awards that night. We're at the Hilton. I mean, thousands of people, and I'm sitting there. I have this long, beautiful gown on with these long gloves. I looked fabulous, of course,
because
it was the Academy Awards, so I, you know, went overboard as always. Anyway, they're giving out awards, and they keep, you know, purposely going over me. So it's like the best whatever, and then, you know, it was whoever, Steve Bertrand on a horse. on a stick horse. Anyway, and it was obvious what they were doing. So I, you know, it took a while, so I was drinking quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they finally, the last award of the night, and it was for Best Scream, and it finally went to me. But when I went up there, I, you know, took my time, got up to the stage, turned around to the mic, and I said, "It's about effing time." And I actually said the word.
Okay.
We weren't on air, right. And the crowd went crazy. You know how everyone says you have that 15 minutes of fame, even though I feel like I've had it many times, just being here. But that was, I could not have been more popular.
Yeah, I bet.
I couldn't get out of that hall for like hours.
Yeah.
But it's just perfect. I just, you know, that's all I said, like, are you kidding me? And so the general manager at the time, it was so funny. I came back to the table, they were all laughing, and he bent over to me and he goes, "Don't ever do that again."
Oh,
really?
No.
But he was kind of funny too, and I thought to myself, why would I? I'd never do that again, because it was the most perfect moment. And so many of the listeners remember that
and talk
about that still.
I'm sure.
So that was one of just, it was a fun thing.
Well, we will miss you tremendously.
Unbelievably.
Yeah.
I will effing miss you guys too.
And I like that. I just feel like I'm not ready for you to leave, because I feel like even though I've been here only 4 years, I think.
Yeah.
Bill was here before.
Oh, my
before.
God. 4 years only?
Yeah. I mean, Bill was
like
here, and then I rejoined. Well, that's a compliment.
Yes.
I feel like I've just really, truly gotten to know you within the last couple of years, and I'm not ready for you to leave yet. But you got to move on.
Got to move on. I will be a guest on your show.
Yes,
anytime
she will.
Because I plan on doing something like Big and Bold.
Good.
If I don't.
Do.
So now I've said it out. It's out there. I have to do it. I will.
Because we're not
going to
let you on the show unless it is Big and Bold.
Now here's Judy. What are you doing? Nothing.
No, you're out.
That Hallmark Channel's got a lot of good stuff on it. I could be the Hallmark Channel critic.
Good. Well, we will. Whenever you have something, just let us know, okay?
All right. So bye, guys, and bye to your listeners who I love.
Yeah. They love you, too.
But I'll be signing off on the 21st, even though you won't be here.
December 21. That's your last day.
December 21.
You are going to cry for 2 hours
straight. Oh, girlfriend, you're going to cry.
I know. I'll be listening at home.
See ya.
Bye, Jude.
I'm way weaker than she is.
That's Judy Pilot. Yeah, she's a dynamo. Her dad, Stan Lee, will be filling in for her when she leaves. He'll do news for us for a couple of weeks. That'll be fun. Aren't you gonna? I mean, seriously.
Yes.
Of all the people here, wouldn't she be way up at the top of the list of people you will just miss?
She's got spunk, Bill.
She's got spunk.
And I told you, I always feel way nicer when I'm hanging around.
Yes,
Judy.
By comparison. Yes, so true. All right, we were talking about the Hallmark Channel. Now, here's what I remember, and I know you have the documentation in front of you, so you tell me. When I was a kid, they would do these things. There was no Hallmark Channel
because
there was no cable or satellite.
But Hallmark would present
the
something.
The Hallmark Hall of Fame.
Yes, yes.
So a couple times a year, Hallmark would go out of their way. They would have a special, and it fit under the guise of Hallmark Hall of Fame. And the one I remember the most, I don't know if you'll remember this, was at Christmas time every year, they would do a special, the Hallmark Hall of Fame, called The Littlest Angel, and Johnny Whitaker from Family Affair
played
this kid who fell off a he was a little kid in biblical times, and he fell off of a mountain, and he died, and he wasn't supposed to because he was a kid. It was very sad. And then he went to heaven, the littlest angel, and dealt with Fred Gwynne, TV's Herman Munster.
I loved him.
And a couple of other people. And the saddest scene in The Littlest Angel is when he went back to his parents' house to talk to his mom, but he was an angel, and his mom couldn't hear him or see him. And he's talking to his mom going, how can you not see? I'm right here in the room with you, Mom. And she was just lamenting the fact that she missed her son so much. Very touching in the Hallmark Hall of Fame.
How old were you, and why did you keep watching that? Way to depress yourself right before...
It was so sad. It was so sad.
Sometimes a good cry is all you need, Bill.
Yeah. No, well said.
I mean, I'm not kidding.
I was a kid. I was 3 or 4 or 5, but I would watch it every year. And then I watched it on YouTube a couple of years ago. Didn't hold up very well.
It wasn't as sad.
No.
They have completely changed things around. These are all like modern. They're all pretty people that look like they could be in a Hallmark card.
Yeah, right.
A Christmas detour. Two travelers find themselves linked during a snowstorm.
I wonder if they fall in love in the end.
They do.
They do? I didn't see that coming.
Oh, here's another one. A cookie cutter Christmas. Two longtime rivals and elementary school teachers duke it out during the holidays.
I wonder if they fall in love in the end.
Christmas cookie bake-off. Yeah.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
How about...
never saw that.
This one, A Dash of Love. When an aspiring chef lands an assistant job at her idol's restaurant,
She's
convinced her big break is just around the corner.
Wendy, there's no way in the world that those two people fall in love in the end.
Hey, I figured something out.
What?
All these people fall in love. They're always a guy and a girl.
Yeah.
Well, that's stupid.
And they're always at odds with each other. They don't see eye to eye on something important, but somehow they put that aside and they fall in love in the end. And it's always shocking.
How about this one? A gift to remember. An accident between a sweet bookshop worker and a handsome stranger leaves him without his memory.
Oh, there's no way those people fall in love.
Why don't we write these things?
It would take 20 minutes. Easy. Do you have 20 minutes? I don't.
How about this? A gingerbread romance. When a young architect enters a contest to design a life-size gingerbread house, she teams up with a local chef.
Oh. No, they don't fall in love. They do? I am shocked. I could see it happening once or twice or maybe 45 or 50 times, but not every time.
Bill, honest to God, I feel so stupid. I did not know they were... Listen, A Midnight Kiss, new for 2018.
This is a new one?
With only 1 week to prepare, a party planner must enlist the help of a relative stranger to help her pull off the event.
They will not fall in love.
They do fall in love.
Is Grant Goodeve in any of these?
No, but I'd watch him. This is just A Shoe Addict's Christmas. I got to watch this.
Wait, that's the real title?
A Shoe Addict's Christmas, new for 2018. Here, let me see who's in it.
A Shoe Addict's Christmas.
Starring Candace Cameron Bure.
Oh, yeah. She's in about 3/4
Jean
of them.
Smart.
From Designing Women.
Yes. A Shoe Addict's Christmas.
Why don't they just say foot fetishist? We all know what it means.
You don't do that around
the same
holidays.
Thing. But that's what they're implying.
Here's the synopsis. When Noel...
Oh, because it's Christmas.
...gets snowed in at the department store she works at, a quirky guardian angel...
With Sandy Claus. That's the guy she meets, right? It's gotta be.
Or a hermit crab.
Right.
So she gets stuck in a department store. She gets snowed in.
Oh.
And then hilarious, an angel helps her rediscover her love of shoes.
All right, that's happened to all of us, so that one I can see. That one's kind of realistic. That's probably a documentary.
How about this one? A Very Merry Mix-Up.
Oh, I can't wait to find out what this is. Is it Candace Cameron Bure again?
I will tell you after I read you this.
Right.
A woman sets out to meet her fiancé's family at Christmas and winds up at the wrong house.
Oh, wouldn't you know it?
Once the mistake is figured out, everything, Alicia Witt...
Oh, you know who she is?
No.
She's got red hair.
Yes.
She was on Sybil Shepherd Show. Is it called Sybil?
Yes.
She was on that for a while. She was on Sopranos for a little while, a couple of episodes of Sopranos.
Why do these people these movies? They don't need to do them, do they?
They get paid in cards. Like if you do one of the Hallmark Channel movies, they'll go, you pick any 3 boxes of cards out. Any holiday, you want birthday cards, we got them. You want holiday cards, we got them. You pick them out. 3 cards. They're all you. 3 boxes.
And can I tell you how expensive cards are these days?
Very
expensive. Wonder they do it.
Yeah.
I don't buy cards anymore.
No.
They're like $6.
We are averaging at my house, because I'm normally the one who brings in the mail. We are averaging about 1 card every 3 days right now.
Yeah.
Now, there used to be a time this time of year... When I was a kid, we were getting 5 or 10 a day. Every day, you get 5 or 10 new cards. We were averaging about one a day for a while, but now we're one every 3 or 4 days.
When's the last time you sent out a Christmas card?
About the time my daughters were born.
Me too.
20 years ago.
All right, Dylan's 16, and I probably put together a card when he was one or two just to show the two boys together.
Yeah.
And then it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
Come visit if you want to see him.
Yeah. Now, here's what we've been doing. And yes, this is cruel. But we haven't done it this year because we don't have enough cards to do this. But in previous years, when people send us pictures of their family, we rank them on the refrigerator. We put them up with magnets, and we go most attractive to least attractive.
You're going to get coal. Year after year after year.
I'm all right with that.
You do like to cook
clean
out.
Coal? Is it clean coal? Because that's the future. If it's clean coal, I'm okay with it. But then we don't tell anybody. But we've had people come over and go, that's weird. All the good-looking people are up here. What happened to this guy? Oh, he was in a bus accident.
It's a shame. I'm trying to look at a Hallmark movie that has this same plot.
That's happened. The holiday Christmas card rankings. We just got one from a former neighbor of ours, some people who live down the block from us. And now their kids are now, I think, around 20. I think their kids are just a little bit younger than my daughters are. But it's just weird. Like, when you're a cute, adorable little kid, it makes sense, right? Look, my son and my daughter are sitting by the tree, and they're 9 and they're 4. Isn't that adorable? But once they get up into the 20s,
they shouldn't be on a Christmas card? But they're probably not on Facebook, and they want people to see, oh, look at where the time's gone. Our little babies are now 20.
But it's just, you know, they're adult. I don't know what to say.
Well, look, nothing.
They grew
just
up.
Smile.
Shocking, they grew up. I didn't see that coming either. I got to watch the Hallmark Channel more, because I don't see anything coming. Anything obvious.
I got to start watching the Hallmark Channel a little more.
And then you know a friend of ours from another radio station every year sends out a holiday card of himself, his wife, and his children, and they're always wearing holiday pajamas. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know who that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is that a good thing, do you think?
Traditions are hard to break, Bill, and I think once you start something, you feel the need to continue it every year.
But you can see in the kids' faces... It doesn't say this, but you can see in their eyes, even though it's a split second in time, both of the kids' faces are like, God, Dad, please, please let this be the last year, please.
I don't think it's ever going to end.
No. Nope. But you see it, too. It's like, they're not saying it, but you can see it's like, help us, please. You're a friend of our parents. Talk to them, please.
Before we go, let's take the last call of the year here on the stream. Laura has called us. You have a funny little story?
Yeah, I saw that Kelly Ripa sent out Mark Consuelo's TV family as her family Christmas card this year.
That's pretty funny.
That's beautiful.
I like those two. I really...
I'm on vacation when you guys are on vacation, so I'm not real happy with you because it's fun to listen to you when I'm off. But so I hope you guys have a good holiday.
Thank you so much, Laura.
Thanks, Laura. That's very nice of you. Have a great holiday.
You too. Bye.
That's pretty funny.
Here's an interesting text, Wendy. Hey, Bill, where would Wendy's family rank on that list of most attractive? And be honest, you guys always crack the top 10. You guys were always in the top 10. One year you were 11. But every other year, top 10 easy.
Why does a listener have to start our vacation like this? I just don't know.
I don't either. Goodbye to the exalted Judy Pylak.
I know. Isn't that weird?
This is our last show with the great Judy Pylak. She will certainly be a chapter
Sounds
in
like
my...
Sounds like a magician.
The great
Pylak.
The great Pylak.
Doesn't it?
Master of the Linking Rings. Could make a ferret appear from out of nowhere. Nobody knows how she did it, but we will greatly miss her. And in all honesty, I will miss, even though it's great to take a vacation,
I'll miss the day-to-day.
Will be sad every day for a couple of weeks, but we'll be back first week in January, I promise. All right, we'll close things off next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, tomorrow is the big radio play, so we will not be doing the stream tomorrow.
Right. The stream will continue next week without Wendy and myself. We will both be off next weekend, the week after. We'll be back on January the 2nd. But what a great year this has been. Thank you for everybody for supporting us and for listening both on the regular radio and on the stream. It means the world to us. So thank you so much. Here we go. Here come the tears. Here they come.
Oh, it's been fun. And yeah. I can't wait for a new stream in 2019.
Yes.
That's going to be weird to say. And we're going to write it on our checks a couple times.
Yeah, I'm going to write it everywhere.
2019.
Yes, yes.
That sounds so far off.
It sounds like the future.
I know. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening. Have a great holiday, whatever holiday you're celebrating. If you're celebrating one, I hope it's a good one. That's it. Bye, Wendy.
That's sweet, Bill. Thank you. That's it.
That's a Hallmark card ever, if I ever heard one.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Well said. Okay. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.